Good day. This is Philip Korper. This is the Philip Korper Show. This is episode 36, September 20th, 2018. I've got a lot of things to share with you today. I'm pretty excited. I want to start off with the topic of the day, and of course, that's the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. And boy, things have kind of heated up a little bit here. And I wanted to kind of, I really like this Chad Pergam article from Fox News talking about this confirmation process. So basically, what's going on in here is Chuck Grassley has sent a letter to Dianne Feinstein. And this letter is very informative and kind of sums up the whole nomination process for Brett Kavanaugh. So basically what Chuck Grassley, who's the chairman of the Judicial Committee, the Committee on the Judiciary, he's writing Senator Feinstein, and he wants the complete letter that she has from Ford, from Christine Blasey Ford. Apparently, Christine Blasey Ford sent a letter to Dianne Feinstein that Dianne Feinstein relieved 7 weeks ago, like July 30th. This letter is dated July 30th. So this has been the part of this letter has been redacted and given to Charles Grassley, but he wants the unredacted copy with all the apparently. So he's asked for this document and she's not giving it. The only version, Chuck Grassley says, we have of this letter is redacted version contained in the supplemental FBI background investigation file that only senators and a handful of very select staff are authorized to read. And then Chuck Grassley says, sexual assault allegations deserve serious attention, and those who make such allegations must be heard. They should not be deployed strategically for political gain. You received this letter approximately 7 weeks ago, but the contents of the letter were leaked only last week when it appeared that the Senate was about to confirm Judge Kavanaugh. There were numerous opportunities to raise the serious allegations made in the letter during the course of this nomination process. They could have been raised in your closed-door meeting with Judge Kavanaugh on August 20th. 64 other senators also met with Judge Kavanaugh prior to his confirmation hearing. These senators could have asked Judge Kavanaugh about these allegations if you had shared the letter. Your staff could have raised these allegations during routine background investigation phone calls in late August. Questions about these allegations could have been asked of Judge Kavanaugh during his more than 32 hours of testimony before the committee over the course of 3 days. You could have asked him about these allegations during the closed session of his confirmation hearing, where sensitive material can be discussed, but you did not attend the closed session. Finally, these allegations could have been addressed in one of nearly 1,300 written questions issued to him about the hearing. More written questions to any Supreme Court nominee than all prior Supreme Court nominees combined. You have said that you didn't raise Dr. Ford's allegations previously because you wanted to protect Dr. Ford's anonymity. But these allegations could have been raised to me or to Judge Kavanaugh while protecting Dr. Ford's anonymity. Indeed, the only version of her letter that I have is the redacted version from the FBI, which protected Dr. Ford's anonymity. Had Dr. Ford not made her allegations public via the Washington Post over the weekend, I still would have not known her identity. The fact is that these allegations could have been raised both within the last 7 weeks and in the way that protected Dr. Ford's anonymity. Instead, you chose to sit on the allegations until a politically opportune moment. I cannot overstate how disappointed I am in this decision. It has caused me to have to reopen the hearings for the 5th day of testimony when we easily could have and should have raised these issues before or during the first 4 days of the hearing. As you know, the Senate Judiciary Committee, okay, so this is Chuck Grassley writing to Dianne Feinstein, has extended invitations to Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh to testify on Monday, September 24th. They have until this Friday at 10 a.m. to let us know whether they are coming. Dr. Ford has asked for the opportunity to be heard in a hearing, and I believe she should have that opportunity. I recognize that testifying publicly about sexual assault allegations may be difficult for Dr. Ford, so I have offered her the opportunity to testify in any of the four possible venues. 1, a public hearing. 2, a private hearing. 3, a public staff interview. Or 4, a private staff interview. I am willing to have my staff travel to Dr. Ford in California or anywhere else to obtain her testimony. As you know, the majority staff spoke with Judge Kavanaugh as part of the background investigation. Judge Kavanaugh immediately agreed to cooperate with Senate investigators. He sat for a transcribed interview on Monday. He understood that he was under penalty of felony if he was not truthful. He fully, candidly, and unequivocally answered all questions. We have no reason to doubt the truthfulness of Judge Kavanaugh's testimony. Judge Kavanaugh volunteered to come back to a public hearing. As is standard practice, we invited the minority staff to participate and asked Judge Kavanaugh its own questions, but the minority staff declined. The majority staff has also sought to set up interviews with Dr. Ford, Mark Judge, and other two alleged witnesses. The minority staff is welcome to participate in the investigative process as well, but has thus far declined. In order to prepare the Monday hearing and any discussion with Dr. Ford that occurred before then, I must review the unredacted letter that Dr. Ford sent to you, dated July 30th, 2018. I ask that you send me a copy of the original unredacted letter immediately. Sincerely, your Chuck Grassley. Yeah, so, I mean, this is just a complete political stunt and smear campaign by Dianne Feinstein. And you know what? Liberals are even realize this. Ruth Bader Ginsburg has mentioned that this is such a partisan issue. And so I think even my liberal friends, as I stated yesterday, know that this is a complete smear campaign of Judge Kavanaugh. These are allegations that he has denied under oath. Okay. But I do think Chuck Grassley is trying so hard to be fair to the Democrats here. And I really appreciate that. Now, Dr. Ford's lawyer, Lisa something, I can't remember what it is off the, Lisa Black or something like that. Her lawyer is asking that the FBI, before she can go forward, that the FBI needs to investigate this matter. And then I like what Chuck Grassley says here. The FBI does not make a credibility assessment of any information it receives with respect to the nominee, nor is it tasked with investigating a matter simply because the committee deems it important. The Constitution assigns the Senate and only the Senate with the task of advising the President on his nominee and consenting to the nomination if the circumstances merit. We have no power to commandeer an executive branch agency into conducting our due diligence. The job of assessing and investigating a nominee's qualifications in order to decide whether to consent to the nomination is ours and ours alone. I like that. Okay. So anyhow, this is really pretty interesting, and it's interesting about from all sources. I really like this American Spectator article by David Catrone, and it's titled "The Right Prescription: Christine Blasey Ford Won't Take Yes for an Answer." So GOP senators are losing patience with Kavanaugh. So this article talks about, of course, Jeff Flake, who's a Republican senator from Arizona, who's retiring. Okay, he's retiring because he knows he's up for a re-election next month, and he'll lose. He is so unpopular in Arizona that he will lose. And he's unpopular because he used to be a conservative, and he has gone completely off the rails. And he's not... many times he doesn't vote conservative anymore. So he's gone, and he got in a big fist fight, basically, a verbal fist fight, per se, with Donald Trump, and he lost. Okay, so he's gone. And so when he heard these allegations from Dr. Ford, he's like, oh, okay, we need to stop everything. We got to really look into this. Even though, of course, her credibility looks so weak. She can't even remember what year this occurred, okay? She remembers that she only had one beer that day, but she doesn't remember where it took place, what year it took place, how she got to the party, how she got home from the party. During her 1982 remarks, during a therapy session, she said there was four guys in the room, never mentioned Brett Kavanaugh by name. Brett Kavanaugh has a witness. She said this other guy, I keep forgetting that guy's name. The other guy who was in the room at the time, supposedly, Judge is his name. He denies that this ever took place. So, I mean, the only people who know what happened that day in that room are those three people. Brett, you know, or maybe Brett Kavanaugh was never in the room. He's totally denied this. So we just don't know. Okay, this is 36 years ago. All the evidence is cold. This is why there's a statute of limitations of 1 year on a misdemeanor charge like this. So anyhow, this is why records for young people below 18 are sealed, because people do stupid things when they're 17, 16. And yet, anyhow, I really think all of that is just giving the left credibility on this. There is no credibility to this story. Judge Kavanaugh's denied it. There's no proof. Okay, there's just one accusation against another. He is testified under oath. And I think Chuck Grassley is being very fair here to allow Dr. Ford to testify. So they can figure this out to see if her story has any credibility. Back during the Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas episode, the senators had egg on their face. This was a year where Bob Packwood, a Republican Oregon guy, went down in flames with sexual harassment allegation. And the 1992 was the year of the woman, okay? Now, I don't know if this really correlates, but I do like how Chuck Grassley is being patient as he can. But remember, Mitch McConnell wanted Brett Kavanaugh in this process and the vote so he could be in October 1st. So next week, for all of this to take place, if they have hearings on Monday, then they can go through the cloture vote, and then they can have the whole Senate vote by the end of the week. So anyhow, but obviously the Democrats are stalling. They are hoping that they can push this nomination process beyond the midterms. That's their strategy. That's why Dianne Feinstein waited 7 weeks. I mean, we see their strategy. There's no secret to what they're doing here. It's politics, right? It's political strategy. And the GOP, I think they know what's going on here, obviously, and yet they're trying to be as fair as they can. Even though Dianne Feinstein's playing dirty, it's dirty politics, but you know, the court of public opinion will decide. And so I think Charles Grassley is being very patient. And I think that's good. Now, it's funny, Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, you know, they obviously, American Spectator article, they don't have Y chromosomes. But Susan Collin does, okay? And she even said, I think it's not fair for Judge Kavanaugh for her not to come forward and testify. So even Susan Collins, the Republican, squishy Republican from Maine, even she is leaning towards Kavanaugh here. So let's have our vote. Chuck Grassley's being as patient, I think, as he can with this and as fair as possible. So it is what it is. And I really do. I was listening to Michael Knowles yesterday, and he was talking about this. He feels like if we can't get Brett Kavanaugh through, he's so squeaky clean, if we can't get him through the nomination process, we're not going to be able to get anybody through. And I think that might not be exactly true, but I think this is something that we really need to push back with the Democrats. And if they're going to play dirty politics, I think we really need to stand up to them. So I'm hoping that the The committee will vote on Judge Kavanaugh soon. The vote is non-binding, and then let the Senate vote. And let's listen to Dr. Ford. Let's look at the rest of that letter. Apparently, there's something that the Democrats are hiding in that letter. So let's see. Let's see what happens. She definitely has reasons to go against Brett Kavanaugh, with her family losing a house because of a decision that Brett Kavanaugh's mom made. His mom's a judge, and with that decision, and she's a Democrat, and she's a protester against Republicans. So anyhow, this looks very political, and we've got the votes in the Senate. So let the politics reign, and the Senate will nominate. And no longer will the Senate just pretty much be lenient to the president's nomination process. It's just going to be a complete political vote. So people like Anton Scalia were voted in by the Senate unanimously. Got all the votes. No dissenting votes. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was nominated like 95-4 or something. Okay, but now it's super political, and that's just the way it's going to be. Don't know really how to change that. It's funny, Charlie Kirk tweeted about this, and he said Trump should nominate Hillary to the Supreme Court so we can finally have an FBI investigate her. That's really funny. So moving on, Donald Trump is unhappy with the Republicans. He's tweeting today, the Republicans are passing a big spending bill, and there's no money for border security or for the wall. So Donald Trump's calling this a ridiculous spending bill. He tweeted, "I want to know, where is the money for border security and the wall?" Wall is capitalized, all caps. "In this ridiculous spending bill, and where will it come from after the midterms? Dems are obstructing law enforcement and border security." And this is all caps. "Republicans must finally get tough." Okay, so Donald is spurring the Republicans on. Okay. Once again, there are some conservatives who do not like Donald Trump's tweeting. I totally disagree. I love how Donald is so involved. I think it's great. We are getting so much value out of this president. He is getting so much done. He's getting more done than Obama and W did in their entire 16 years. I mean, he is so busy. He is everywhere. I love it. I love it. And yesterday when he was down visiting in North Carolina and South Carolina, passing out food and meeting with the people, Donald loves being with the people. I love it. I love it. It's just awesome. So good. Yes, let's build the wall. Okay, let's build the wall. Let's get E-Verify. Let's get the visas under control so people don't overstay their visas. And then what can we do? We can legalize the 15 million illegal aliens who are in this country. Not give them citizenship, but we can give them residency. Not so they can get all the welfare benefits, but we can allow them to live and work here. But no more. We'll have the wall, and so we will be able to control the border. Even 90% of that border, we can control it. So that will be awesome. I think that is the solution to our problems. A friend sent me this tweet from Larry Elder. It's funny. He is quoting Governor Jerry Brown, the governor of California. And Governor Brown says, "Something's got to happen to this guy, President Trump, because if we don't get rid of him, he's going to undermine America and even the world." And Larry Elder asks, imagine the fate of any Republican politician who said that about President Obama. Oh, there's such a double standard. And I think people are really getting tired of this double standard. I've been watching, I'm a little bit behind the times, but I'm watching the HBO series on John Adams. It's from 2008. It's great. It's from the David McAuliffe book on John Adams. It's great. John Adams was just so instrumental and getting Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and him worked on that committee to write the Declaration of Independence. John Adams really stood up in that Continental Congress to break away from England. It's just really, it's great. So I'm really enjoying this series. And I love this quote from John Adams where he says, "I must study politics and war that my sons may have liberty to study mathematics and philosophy." That is so awesome. I love it. And so I'm so grateful for men like John Adams. Give him so much credit in setting up, being one of the founding fathers and setting up the government to this wonderful country. I just love it. So thank you so much for listening. This is Philip Korper. This is the Philip Korper Show, copy 2018. You can go to my website, philkorper.com, to listen, or search the Philip Korper Show on YouTube to see a video of the show. All right, you guys have a great day. Thanks.